Welcome to our podcast. I am Linda Messer. My husband Ron and I invite you to join us in our weekly broadcast of A New Voice of Freedom. Welcome to Season 5 of A New Voice of Freedom, written by Ronald Keith Messer. This podcast is part of a series we call Poet's Corner, an appendage to a series of books written under the banner In Defense of Christianity. This segment is John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Podcast 31, Episode 6, Chapter 2b, The Interpreter.
The main character in Pilgrim's Progress is named Christian for obvious reasons. In Bunyan's mind, every Christian must take the same journey. In other words, the reader is the main character or hero of the story. What Christian learns, the reader must also learn. In last week's episode, Christian breaks off with Worldly Wise Man and the City of Morality, and after being chastised by Evangelist, returns to the straight and narrow way. He meets Goodwill at the wicket gate, who open-heartedly invites him in. One of the first things Christian asks Goodwill is how to get rid of the burden on his back.
Then I saw in my dream that Christian asked him further if he could not help him off with his burden that was upon his back. For as yet he had not got rid thereof, nor could he by any means get it off without help.
Goodwill gives him a rather strange answer. He told him,
"As to thy burden, be content to bear it until thou comest to the place of deliverance, for there it will fall from thy back of itself."
Then Christian began to gird up his loins, meaning he was preparing himself for a very long journey or for a difficult task. Proverbs 31 tells us, "She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms." The image refers to someone tucking their long robe into a girdle or belt so they are not hampered in traveling. One would practically have to memorize the Holy Bible, both the Old and the New Testaments, to pick up all the biblical allusions in Pilgrim's Progress. One can hardly read Pilgrim's Progress without being astonished at his biblical knowledge. Had he not served 12 years in prison, perhaps Bunyan would never have written Pilgrim's Progress. There's an analogy with Milton's Paradise Lost. Milton, who was blind at the time he wrote Paradise Lost, was also a kind of prisoner in his own home. He moved to his home outside of London to escape the plague. He too would have known the Bible by heart. Both Milton and Bunyan were perceived as enemies to the crown for their political and religious beliefs. Both Pilgrim's Progress and Paradise Lost are epic journeys of the soul, while facing enormous opposition, Satan himself being the primary enemy. Goodwill directs Christian to the house of the interpreter.
So the others told him that as soon as he was gone some distance from the gate, he would come at the house of the interpreter, at whose door he should knock, and he would show him excellent things. Then Christian took his leave of his friend, and he again bid him Godspeed.
The interpreter, a person much like Evangelist, plays an important role in preparing Christian for his journey. He teaches Christian how to read the Bible by explaining what things mean. While walking through the interpreter's home, he sees symbols of things, and each symbol must be interpreted. The imagery of the Bible, of course, is heavily symbolic, written in highly poetic language, and requires interpretation. A classic example is the use of parables by the Savior. Sometimes Christ gave the interpretation, and sometimes he didn't. It is refreshing when Christ interprets his own parables. One gets so much more detail, such as the parable of the sower.
Then he went on till he came to the house of the interpreter, where he knocked over and over. At last one came to the door and asked who was there. "Sir, here is a traveler who was bid by a friend of the good man of this house to call here for his benefit. I would therefore speak with the master of the house. So he called for the master of the house, who after a little time came to Christian and asked him what he would have. Sir, said Christian, I am a man that am come from the city of destruction and am going to Mount Zion, and I was told by the man that stands at the gate at the head of this way that if I called here, you would show me excellent things, such as would be helpful to me on my journey.
Pilgrim's Progress is transparently didactic. Preachy would be an accurate way to put it. Bunyan fully expects us to do what Christian is expected to do. We also are expected to learn from Christian's mistakes. That, of course, is not without precedent. The Holy Bible does not blush at revealing the strengths and weaknesses of its heroes. Consider the stories of Saul, David, Solomon, Samson, Balaam, the sons of Jacob, excluding Joseph, who was seen as faultless. In the house of the interpreter, we too are being prepared for our journey to the promised land. There are certain things that we must learn before we embark on such a perilous pilgrimage.
Then said the interpreter, Come in, I will show thee that which will be profitable to thee. So he commanded his man to light the candle and bid Christian follow him. So he led him into a private room and bid his man open a door, the which, when he had done, Christian saw the picture of a very grave person hung up against the wall. And this was the fashion of it. It had eyes lifted up to heaven, the best of books in its hand. The law of truth was written upon its lips. The world was behind its back. It stood as if it pleaded with men, and a crown of gold did hang over its head.
Does that sound a little like the imagery in the book of Revelation? How many would like to have an interpreter when reading John? Each image in the picture needs interpreted. The grave person, eyes lifted to heaven, best books, law of truth written on his lips, the world behind his back, and the crown of gold are all images that need an interpreter. Christian asks, What meaneth this? The interpreter responds,
The man whose picture this is one of a thousand. He can say in the words of the Apostle Paul, Though ye have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have been your father through the gospel. And where thou seest him with his eyes lifted up to heaven, the best of books in his hand, and the law of truth writ on his lips, it is to show thee that his work is to know and unfold dark things to sinners. Even as also thou seest him stand as if he pleaded with men. And whereas thou seest the world is cast behind him, and that a crown hangs over his head, that is to show thee that slighting and despising the things that are in the world for the love that he hath to his master's service, he is sure in the world that comes next to have glory for his reward.
The picture was shown to Christian as a warning, so he will discern between good teachers and bad teachers. As Christ said, Not everyone who saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, we cannot assume that everyone who appears to have the mantle of teacher is qualified to teach us. We must be extremely careful whom we choose as our interpreters. Even Satan can quote the Bible. I am reminded of Bassanio's comment in Shakespeare's Merchant of Venice. So may the outward shows be least themselves. The world is still deceived with ornament. In law, what plea so tainted and corrupt, but, being seasoned with a gracious voice, obscures the show of evil? In religion, what damned error, but some sober brow will bless it and approve it with a text? hide in the grossness with fair ornament. There is no vice so simple, but assumes some mark of virtue on its outward parts.
Now, said the interpreter, I have shown thee this picture first, because the man whose picture this is the only man whom the Lord of the place, whither thou art going, hath chosen to be thy guide in all difficult places thou mayest meet within thy way. Wherefore take heed to what I have showed thee, and bear well in thy mind what thou hast seen, lest in thy journey thou meet with some that pretend to lead thee right, but their way goes down to death.
The interpreter takes Christian into another room. This time, however, rather than a picture or an abstraction, he has Christian observe a common domestic event, such as sweeping dust on the floor.
Then he took him by the hand and led him into a very large parlor that was full of dust because never swept, the which, after he had looked at it a little while, the interpreter called for a man to sweep. Now when he began to sweep, the dust began so abundantly to fly about that Christian had almost therewith been choked. Then said the interpreter to a girl that stood by, Bring hither water and sprinkle the room, the which, when she had done, it was swept and cleansed with ease.
Again, Christian has no clue. So he asked the interpreter, What means this? The interpreter answered,
This parlor is the heart of a man that was never made pure by the sweet grace of the gospel. The dust is his sin and inward evils that have defiled the whole man. He that began to sweep at first is the law, but she that brought water and did sprinkle it is the gospel. Now, whereas thou sawest that, as soon as the first began to sweep, the dust did fly so about that the room could not by him be cleansed, but that thou wast almost choked therewith. This is to show thee that the law, instead of cleansing the heart by its workings from sin, doth revive, put strength into, and increase it in the soul, even as it doth discover and forbid it. For it doth not give power to overcome. Again, as thou sawest the girl sprinkle the room with water, upon which it was cleansed with ease, this is to show thee that when the gospel comes in the sweet and gracious power thereof to the heart, then I say, even as thou sawest the maiden lay the dust by sprinkling the floor with water, so is sin vanquished and subdued, and the soul made clean through the faith of it, and consequently fit for the King of Glory to dwell in.
Bunyan is teaching the gospel of the New Testament. The law refers to the law of Moses. In Christ was the law fulfilled. The law stirred up the dust, causing it to choke Christian. By the time Christ came to the Jews, the law of Moses had become corrupted. It was so restrictive that it was stifling. Christ, the author of the Sabbath, was accused of breaking the Sabbath, and the Pharisees wanted to stone him. In fact, they used the law of Moses to crucify Christ, the giver of the law. Notice the phrase, that when the gospel comes in the sweet and gracious power thereof to the heart, then I say, even as thou sawest the maiden lay the dust by sprinkling the floor with water, so is sin vanquished and subdued, and the soul made clean through the faith of it, and consequently fit for the King of Glory to dwell in. That is beautiful language. Clearly, Bunyan is imitating the parables of Christ to teach the doctrine of Christ. Pilgrim's Progress is deceitfully plain, but hidden in plain sight are profound truths. Something must account for the popularity and longevity of Pilgrim's Progress, because it crosses all denominations, partly because he stays so strictly to the plain teachings of the Bible. The interpreter takes Christian to another room. As mentioned, Pilgrim's Progress is a journey epic. In storytelling, any narrative would get bogged down if it were all scenes. In other words, if it were all real-time action, Therefore, a narrative is divided into scene and summary. For economy's sake, Bunyan, the I in the story, provides that summary.
I saw, moreover, in my dream that the interpreter took him by the hand and led him into a little room where sat two little children, each one in his own chair. The name of the eldest was Passion, and the name of the other Patience. Passion seemed to be much discontented, but Patience was very quiet.
This time, Christian interprets the narrative. He has learned his lesson. He is now looking for symbols and wants to know what they mean in advance of the story. Before the scene was fully acted out, Christian demanded an explanation. Christian asked, "What is the reason of the discontent of the Passion?" The interpreter answers,
"The governor of them would have him stay for his best things till the beginning of next year, but he will have all now. Patience is willing to wait."
Bunyan summarizes,
"Then I saw that one came to Passion and brought him a bag of treasures and poured it down at his feet, the which he took up and rejoiced therein, and withal laughed Patience to scorn. But I beheld but a while, and he had wasted all away, and had nothing left him but rags."
Then said Christian to the interpreter, "Explain this matter more fully to me." The interpreter answers,
"These two lads are pitchers, Passion of the men of this world, and Patience of the men of that which is to come. For as here thou seest Passion, will have all now, this year, that is to say, in this world. So are the men of this world. They must have all their good things now. They cannot stay till the next year, that is, until the next world, for their portion of good." That proverb, "A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush," is of more weight with them than all the words of the Bible of the good of the world to come. But as thou sawest that he had quickly wasted all away, and had presently left him nothing but rags, so will it be with all such men at the end of this world.
One is reminded of the parable of the prodigal son. In the real world, no one has all the virtues or all of the vices. But in Pilgrim's Progress, that is not so. The characters are types, flat, not rounded. Passion represents prodigality. Patience represents frugality. And of course, patience in the Bible is a required virtue. For example, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." Psalms 37:7. "Patience in faith in all your persecutions." 2 Thessalonians 1:4. "Ye have need of patience." Hebrews 10:36. Christian, a quick learner, anticipates the interpreter.
Then said Christian, "Now I see that patience has the best wisdom, and that upon many accounts, because he stays for the best things, and also because he will have the glory of his when the other has nothing but rags."
Still, Christian is in need of the interpreter. The interpreter answers,
"Nay, you may add another. This, the glory of the next world, will never wear out. But these are suddenly gone. Therefore, Passion has not so much reason to laugh at Patience, because he has had his good things at first, as Patience will have to laugh at Passion, because he had his best things last. For first must give place to last, because last must have his time to come, but last gives place to nothing, for there is not another to succeed. He, therefore, that hath his portion first, must needs have a time to spend it. But he that hath his portion last, must have it lastingly."
The above reminds us of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Christian is now on track with the interpreter. He said,
"Then I see it is not best to covet things that are now, but to wait for things to come."
The interpreter replies,
"You say truth, for the things that are seen soon pass away, but the things that are not seen endure forever.
Please join us next week as we continue the epic journey with Christian.
Thank you for listening. Watch for our next podcast.